bit about the mitzvah of Lokas Neres Hanukkah and Yom Diyuma, a little lundus, and then maybe a little bit of machshava at the end. I try to, in general, be interactive, but, you know, this was, you know, I had such a crazy trip. I didn't need any photocopies, maybe anything, but hopefully, you know, everybody has a little bit of, enough of a background in terms of what we're going to talk about that we will have some interaction. So we have the famous brisa of the Sefer Shabbos, the Daf Kof Aleph. Everyone knows there's three levels of the mitzvah of Lokas Neres Hanukkah. Just to, you know, refresh our memories, the first level, basic level mitzvah is, anybody, not all at once. I can also lecture, I don't mind lecturing either, but it's just, Neri Shubeso, very good Neri Shubeso, one candle each night. And then the next level is? Mahadrin. And what does Mahadrin constitute?
Everybody lights one candle.
What do we have here, huh?
Everybody
lights
one candle.
Excellent, everybody lights one candle. Then we have Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. Mahadrin Mahadrin is what?
Everyone lights their own candle.
Oh, okay. So here we've already entered into the realm of machlokes. We have here a famous machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam in terms of how to define the mitzvahs of Lokas Neres Hanukkah, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. So Tosfos says that Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is building off of not the previous level of Ner L'chol Echad Be'Echad, not that each person is laying their own. Now Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, we pass in Beis Hillel as Kineged Yomim HaYotzim, and we light one the first night, two the second night, etc. But it's building off of the initial level of Ner Yishu Beiso. So Tosa says one person lights one candle the first night, one candle the second night, two candles the second night, three candles the third night, etc. By the last night, you have eight candles, and that covers everybody in the house. And that's when the Mechaber passing Shulchan Aruch for Sfarad, this is the Minog, that you have one menorah lit for everybody in the house, and you're finished. Comes the Rambam, the famous Rambam, I'm going to read to you inside. And the Rambam, or his Rambam says, no. He says, Kama Neru Sumadik B'Chanukah, the Rambam, Hukhlas, Megillah, Chanukah, Megillah, Paragdalid, Kama Neru Sumadik, Kama Minerus, are lit on Chanukah mitzvasa shiya kol bayis ubayis madlik ner echad ben shayu anshe habayis merubim ben shalo haya bo ela adam echad. So that's the basic level of mitzvah, one candle each night. The mahadir is the mitzvah madlik neros kiminyan anshe habayis ner lekol echad ve echad ben anashim ben hashem. Level 2 says the Rambam is you have one candle per person each night. The hamahadir yeser al zeh, the highest level of hiddur, says the Rambam, is building off of level 2. As opposed to Tosfos, who says Mahadrin, you know, Mahadrin builds off of level 1, says the Rambam, Mahadrin yeser al zeh ba'osei mitzvah min ha'mufchar, madlik ner l'chol echad ve'echad ba'layla harishon, u'mosif v'holich b'chol ha'layla v'layla ner echad. And the Rambam gives a kitzur over here. Let's say you have in your house 10 people. So on the first night, you're going to light 10 candles. On the second night, you're going to light 20 candles. On the third night, you're going to light 30 candles. On the eighth night, you're going to light, according to the Rambam, 80 candles. Clear, straightforward, simple. Comes the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah paskins, what is the minhag of Ashkenazim, that we're all familiar with, I assume, most of us, if you don't have any Sfarad in the room, but Mislam, you're also familiar with several of us. You're also probably anyway familiar with the minhag of Ashkenazim. What does Ashkenazim do? Halacha l'maaseh, so what is most people here doing now? Everybody's lighting. Each person is laying their own. So you have, you know, Dad is lighting his, on the eighth night, Dad's going to light his eight candles, and whether you're old like the Mishmur or you don't like the Mishmur, maybe Mom is lighting, maybe she's not. Each kid is going to light his own set, and then you end up, you have 10 people in the house, so end up with your 80 candles. But according to the Ramah, each person is lighting their own. And it seems to be simple chat in the Rambam that the Baal HaBayis is the one who's supposed to light for everybody. So here we have a conundrum. The Brisker Rav asked, the famous Brisker Rav in Hiddur Mitzvah Neres Hanukkah, where's the Ramah getting his Shita from? He's obviously not passing like Tosfos. What did Tosfos say? Just to refresh, what does Tosfos say over here? Tosfos, what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, one person lights for the whole house. Svardin. The Rambam says that one person lights for the whole house, but it's connecting everybody. So on the eighth night, you have 10 people lighting 80 candles. So according to the Rambam, you have one Baal HaBayis lighting 80 candles. According to Tosfos, you have one Baal HaBayis lighting 8 candles. Comes the Ramah, and the Ramah says, no. You have each person in the house lighting their own set. So if you have 10 people in the house, you have 10 people in the house who are lighting 80 candles. And Brisker Rav says, where do you get this from? This is not the Ramah, it's not Tosfos. So the Brisker Rav says a beautiful idea. He says, this depends on how you understand the nature of Hidr Mitzvah in Kol HaTorah Kula. If you look in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Kufa and Gimel and Beis, the Gemara says like this, I'll read you a Braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Hamal, somebody who's giving a bris milah to his son, so calls Manshu Osik Bamila, as long as he's involved in the mitzvah of bris milah, as long as he's involved in the cut, so to speak, so Choser, Bein Al Tzitzin HaMe'akvinas HaMilah, Bein Al Tzitzin She'ein Me'akvinas HaMilah. If you're giving a bris milah, so there's certain skin that has to be cut, without which you're not making the mitzvah. There's other skin that has to be cut, but if you don't cut it, it's not ma'akid, it's just a hiddur mitzvah. So when you're still involved in the ma'isa milah, so if you forgot, no matter what part of this skin you haven't yet cut, you can always go and you can finish off cutting. But, says the Gemara, Piresh, once you separate, once you stopped cutting, you're doing a bris milah, and you cut part of the orla, or all of the orla, but not all of the hiddur part that has to be cut, and you were porish, and then you stopped. So the Gemara says, Al tzitzin ha-me'akvinas ha-mila chozer. If you have certain parts of the skin that are me'akiv, that prevent you from being mekayin the mitzvah's mila, so then you go back, of course you have to cut them. But al tzitzin she'en ha-me'akvinas ha-mila, eno chozer. But if it's tzitzin she'en ha-me'akvinas ha-mila, it's the skin that's just a hinder mitzvah, it's not part of the ma'isa mila, so then you're not chozer, that's what the Gemara says. So Rashi, and this is also the Torah over here, Rashi and the Torah both say, what's the thing we're talking about? We're talking about on Shabbos. On Shabbos, we know Bris Milah is Docha Shabbos. So if you're in the middle of the Bris Milah, and you're cutting, and you cut off the Tzitzin, HaMe'akvinas HaMilah, you were Mekayin, the Mitzvah's Bris Milah. But you didn't cut off the other skin, the extra, the Hinder, the Tzitzin She'en HaMe'akvinas HaMilah, that you didn't cut off yet, and you were Porish, and you stopped. So then, you can't be Chozer. Why can't you be Chozer? Shabbos. It's Shabbos! And Bris Milah, the mitzvah's Milah is Docha Shabbos, but the mitzvah of Hiddur is not Docha Shabbos. So, you're Polish. What, and then, Lichora, what will you do? On Sunday, you'll go ahead and be Mekayim the mitzvah's Milah, the Hiddur. On Sunday, you'll go back and you'll finish the Bris that you didn't finish off on Shabbos. That's the way Rashi and the Torah understand. But the Rambam over here, the Rambam doesn't say that. When the Rambam quotes this halacha, he says, he quotes the Gemara verbatim, and it has nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam does not mention anywhere that this din is a din of Hilchos Shabbos. It's a din during the week. If you're having a bris milah on Sunday, and the Moel cuts off the tzitzin ha-me'akvinas ha-milah, he cuts off the main part of the bris, he's mekayim the mitzvah's milah, and then he's porish, and then he stops. So, even though there's a hiddur left to be done, there's tzitzin she'en ha-me'akvinas ha-milah, there's still stuff that's still there. So says the Rambam, you're finished, you don't go back, it's over. So why is that? The Brisker Rav explains, you have to understand, what does it mean, Hidr Mitzvah? And this is the Chakir. Is Hidr Mitzvah a separate Kiyuk? You have one mitzvah, mitzvah's Milah, and then you have a separate mitzvah, a second mitzvah, an independent mitzvah of Hidr, Zekeli Vandeyu. You have to do things in a beautiful way, so this is part of a separate mitzvah of Hidr. Or do we say that no, that Zekeli Vandeyu, the mitzvah of Hidr, is really just a modifier? It takes the mitzvah that you're doing, and it says you have to do it in this way. But it's actually part and parcel, it's part of the very mitzvah that you're involved in. So do we have two mitzvahs, one of hiddur and one of bris? Or do we say we have one mitzvah, a bris milah, that must be done in this way? And that says the Brisker Rav, this is the machlokes over here between the Torah and the Rambam. The Torah says that there are two separate mitzvahs, two independent human. On Shabbos, the mitzvah of bris milah is docha Shabbos. So you go ahead and you do it, it's Docha. But the mitzvah of Hidr, the second Kiyum, is not Docha Shabbos. So you're in the middle of the bris, you fit it, you porish, but you didn't do the Hidr. So you'll do it tomorrow, no big deal. It's a separate mitzvah. So you'll come back on Sunday and you'll finish off the bris. But says the Rambam, according to the Brisker Rav, no. That the mitzvah of Hidr is a modifier. It just tells you how to go ahead and do the mitzvahs that you're doing. So if you didn't do the Hidr when you're involved in the bris milah, so there's no point in coming back later. There's nothing to modify. The mitzvah's over. Oh. How does the Ramah Paskin over here when it comes to bris milah? So in your day, it's in Rish Samach Dalet, the Ramah, when it comes to Hilchos Milah, the Ramah Paskin's like the Torah. That if you did the bris milah on Shabbos, and you didn't cut off the tzitzin she'ena me'akvinas ha-milah, the hiddur mitzvah wasn't done, so come back and you'll do it on Sunday. No problem. So says the Briskrav, now we can understand the machlokas between the Ramah and the Rambam when it comes to Neres Chanukah. On Chanukah, the Ramah says, each person lights his own menorah. Can I get the days? Where do you get it from? The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says the Baal Bayis has to light everything. Tosfos doesn't say that. Tosfos says you're only lighting one. So where's the Ramah get this from? So says the Briskrav, the Ramah really paskins like the Rambam when it comes to Hilchos Chanukah. In the realm of Hilchos Chanukah, we only need one candle for each person, for each night. So by the end, you need to have the 80 candles. The Ramah paskins in Hilchos Chanukah, he paskins like the Rambam. But when it comes to Hilchos Hidur Mitzvah and Kol Torah Kula, so there the Ramah doesn't paskin like the Rambam. There the Ramah paskins like Rashi in the Tor. And therefore, the Ramah says like this. You have two independent mitzvahs over here. You have one Iker mitzvah of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, and then you have a separate independent kiyum of Hidur mitzvah. And in Chanukah, what's the Hidur mitzvah? That each person is lighting his own. So says the Ramah, yeah. The Baal Bayis will light the Iker mitzvah, and then you'll come on, each person on his own will do the independent kiyum of Hidur. What about the Rambam? The Rambam said no. The Rambam says that Hidur Mitzvah, like we saw in Hilchos Milah, is a modifier. If you did the bris, even on Chol, and you didn't do the Hidur Mitzvah, don't bother going back later. The mitzvah's finished. It's over. When it comes to Neres Chanukah, Mimela, the Rambam says the same thing. If Hidur Mitzvah is just a modifier, if Hidur Mitzvah is just teaching me how I go ahead and do the mitzvah that I'm doing, but it's not an independent, separate mitzvah, so then the Rambam says, one person, if it's all one mitzvah, so one person has to light all the candles. It's all one kiyum. So one person has to do it all. The Rambam says, no, we have two independent kiyumim over here. And if there's two independent kiyumim, so the Baal Bayis can do the Iker mitzvah, and each person on his own can do the Hidur.
Can I ask a question?
Please, yeah.
Where is the Hidur? Where is the Iker mitzvah according to the Rambam? According to the Ramah, where is the Baal Bayis doing the Iker mitzvah and the Bnei Bayis doing the Hidur mitzvah? Where is that?
Oh, so, very good. Rav Asher Weiss, Shalita, so he does not like his Briskrav at all. He has a number of kashas on it. One of his kashas is that essentially what everybody else is doing here is not a Hidur mitzvah. The Baal Bayis is doing the Iker mitzvah, and then each person it's brought down, should have kavana not to be yotzei. They're making their own bracha. After all, each person is making his own bracha. Each person has to have kavana not to be yotzei with the Baal Bayis. He's mekayem his own Iker mitzvah. So that's kasha that the Rav Asher Weiss asked in the Brisker Rav. It doesn't seem to be a hither. Lichora, what the Brisker Rav was thinking is that the Iker mitzvah is that you have one Baal Bayis lighting keneged hayamim, and the fact that each person is coming along and adding, so.
But even within the Brisker Rav,
yeah.
Keneged hayamim. So that's already mahadim and mahadim.
No, but so that's according to Tosfos. According to the Rambam, Mahajan Mani Mahajan is not only Keneged HaYamim, it's also the Bnei Abayis. That's also part of the Hidur. So here, the fact that extra Bnei Abayis are coming on and lighting, so that's the Hidur. Meaning, you there's two components of Hidur. One is you have to have
Keneged HaYamim. The Rabbis didn't do the Mahajan Mahajan either.
Exactly. This is Rav Asher Weiss,
father of the
Rishon. You're saying the Baal Bayis is not doing the Mahajan Mahajan. All he's doing is Keneged the Knights, but he's not doing Keneged the Bnei Abayis.
Which, according to the Rambam, going the Rambam, you have to do.
Yeah, enough time. It's a good kasha.
No, so how does he split up? Aside from the side question, how did the Briskrav understand that there are two things going on here? Even if you'll ignore the fact that they're not trying to be as a Baal Bayis, where does he see that the Baal Bayis is doing a mitzvah?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It seems like unless you say somehow it's a din in the bias, and you look at it from the perspective of the bias, so then, in a global perspective, there is the mitzvah. Because you have happening going on over here, you have the Iker and you have the Hidur, Bnei Abayis and the Yamin. So maybe that's how the Brisker Rav looks on a global perspective, but not looking from an individual perspective. But it's a good kasha. I saw in brought down the Sefer Reb Chaim that I think Rav Schechter quotes this in his Sefer Nefesh HaRav. And then I was talking to somebody last night, and they told me that Rav Tzvi Yitzchak Frank also quotes this in the Kriya Kodesh, also from Reb Chaim. There's a Shaila. Let's say a person has on Sukkis, so he has two Esrogim that he can choose from. He has one Esrog, which is Suffolk Morkov. I mean, it might have been grafted, so it's Suffolk, maybe it's Pussel. But the Esrog, on the side that it's kosher, it's a Mahudr Esrog. And he also has another esrog, which is vadai kosher. It's for sure a kosher esrog, but it's not mohudar at all. So what should a person do? So they say, I don't know, this is what I've heard, but Shemur Chaim, their Chaim held that you should first take the suffix esrog and use the suffix mohudar esrog, and only after the fact that you take the suffix mohudar esrog, so then you should take the vadai kosher esrog, which is not mohudar. What's the svara? Because, says Reb Chaim, if you take the Vadai Kosher Esrog first, and you use that, and it's your Yotzei, that's Mekayim the Mitzvah, so then what are you going to gain afterwards by taking the Suffolk Pasul Esrog, which is Mehudar, and using that afterwards? There's nothing to gain from that. Why not? Because you're already Mekayim the Mitzvah. So now you want to take another Esrog, which is Mehudar, and be Mekayim the concept of Hidr Mitzvah afterwards, so you're already Yotzei, you have nothing to gain. So what did Chaim say? And this thing also leads to the fact pick on this also, because the Chorah, you made a bracha, and you should go ahead and do the mitzvah immediately afterwards. But apparently this is the Shem Reb Chaim, you take the suffix first, because on the side that it's kosher, you're mekayim the mitzvah behitter, because you have the suffix esrog, and then you take the vadai kosher esrog afterwards, because just in case the first one was pasul, so now you're mekayim the mitzvah that way. But to take the first, which sounds to be like, it's in line with the Shittas HaRambam, that once you're Mekayim the Iker Mitzvah, so there's nothing to gain by going ahead afterwards and doing the Hidr Mitzvah second. So you take the Vadai, the Suffolk first, and then the Vadai second. Yeah, please.
It's starting even if you go like Tysus.
Yeah.
Once you're Mekayim the Mitzvah, I mean, it's a one-shot deal.
It's a one-shot deal. So
even like Tysus, even if you tell me that there's a separate mitzvah and hither,
yeah.
But there's no mitzvah and hither to, independent of the mitzvah, it has to somehow be...
Right. By bris, it's the outcome.
Right.
By bris, you want to get a basic outcome. Here is it like just one mic.
No, what's the point of picking up a mohud and bigger? It's like picking it up on Shavuot. What's the point of picking up a mohud and bigger? That's what I'm doing.
Right.
So hard to say.
Unless you say, I mean, is it... What? If a person puts on tefillin, you know, twice over the course of the day, so you make it. It's a new mitzvah. You shouldn't put on tefillin.
Right, but
it's
not really not.
I really didn't sound like that. Yeah, I don't know.
Once you did, once you
did, yeah,
very
good. Yeah.
Why should
you
take suffix esrog first?
The suffix esrog first.
Even though it's mahudr.
No, the suffix is mahudr. The suffix is mahudr. Right. So if he takes the kosher esrog first, he's mekayim the mitzvah, so he has nothing to gain afterwards by taking the suffix. But if he takes the suffix first, so on the tzad that it's good, he was mekayim the mitzvah with hither.
On the tzad.
On the tzad it's good, he was mekayim with hither. And if it wasn't good, he takes the kosher one for sure afterwards.
The kosher one for sure.
Oh. So I want to talk a little bit now, it's almost like taking a step back, speak for a little bit about the machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. I saw a very nice piece in the Sefer Mishnas Yaivitz from Tzal Jolti, it was the Rav Yerushalayim. And he's Masbir, the Machlokas, which is Chazor with Machlokas, Alumnus, and Nachiminas, and then we'll speak a little bit of Divrei Machshava. Again, Tosfos says, and it's important, I'll read you actually the Lashon at the end of Tosfos. Tosfos says that on Chanukah, you have the Mahadrin, meaning Mahadrin, is to light the number of candles of the nights, and you totally ignore the B'nai Abayis. You need to just light on the eighth night, no matter how many people are in your house, you light eight candles. And the question is why? Why not light connected also to the B'nai Abayis? I mean, the Chora, if you read the Gemara, the Pashup Shat seems to be progressive. Ner Yishu Beso, Ner L'chol Echad Ve'echad, and then connected Hayamin. So why does Tosfos say that level 3, when we're talking about connected the days, it builds off of level 1 instead of also building off of level 2 where we talk about the B'nai Abayis? So Tosfos explains himself. He says like this. Avalim osa ner l'kol echad. This is Tosfos on the 1000 days. Afilu Yosef mikan ve'elach leka hekera sheyizbaru shekach yesh b'nei adam b'bayis. Tosfos explains that if you light also keneged the people in the house, and you have on the last night of Chanukah, you have 80 candles in your window. So Tosfos says there's no heker. It's not recognizable that now it's the eighth night of Chanukah. People will think you have 80 people in your house. It also says that the Hidr Mitzvah of Neres Chanukah has to be Nikar. You're expressing the fact that this is the eighth night or the seventh night or whatever night of Chanukah it is. That's what you're expressing by lighting. That's the whole concept of Mahadrin Mahadrin. Keneged Hayamin. It's meant to be to represent the days. And if it's not representing the days, if you have a whole mess of candles in your window, So then nobody knows what's going on. They think you have a lot of people in your house. So Tosfos says, in order to have a heker, that it should be nikar, that this is the number of days of Hanukkah, so you can only light keneged the yamim. Apparently the Rambam doesn't think so. The Rambam says, you know, he's not concerned by this concept of heker, this concept of nikar. The Rambam says, eighth night, 10 people, 80 candles. And they're not having a machlokas in mitzvahs. I mean, the Rambam realizes that if somebody walks by a window and sees 80 candles, you know, nobody's doing the math to figure out exactly what night of Hanukkah is. So what's the machlokas here? So the Mishnah Yavetz quotes for us the sugya, this is also sugya in Shabbos, in the Kufa and Gimel, of Hidr Mitzvah and Kolatar Kula. So I'm going to read you the Gemara, and then we'll see the Shita Sarambam in two cases. The Gemara says, Zekeli v'anvehu, he's not in the fun of the mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Hidr is to do things in a beautiful way. Asel lefan of sukkana, the lulavna, the shofarna, a beautiful sukkah, a beautiful lulav, a beautiful shofar, tzitzisna, sefer torahna. All these things are beautiful things. We do mitzvahs in a beautiful way. Says the Rambam, this is the Rambam Hilchos Tefillin and Mezuzah, the sefer Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis. Halacha Moshe Misinai, Shein Kosvin sefer Torah, Vlo Mezuzah El Besirtut. When we write a Sefer Torah and a mezuzah, so you have to make those lines, you know, across. You know what I'm talking about? There's like lines in the Sefer Torah. You get an aliyah, you'll notice they push in the Sefer Torah. They make like almost like a piece of lined paper, and that's a din of hidden. Mishum zekeli v'endei. About tefillin, says the Rambam, when it comes to tefillin, there's no halacha of sirta. Why not? D'mechusin be'or. Since they're covered up with leather, and nobody ever sees the parshios of the tefillin, lo bo sirta, de lo shayach behu noy. It's not shayach to have the concept of noy, of beauty, by something which I'm never going to see. So says the Rambam, even though we have sirtut, when it comes to Sefer Torah and mezuzah, when it comes to tefillin, which are, the halacha is, obviously it's in the box, it's in the leather box, you can never see it. So there's no halacha of zekeli v'anvehu, there's no halacha of hidr, because it's not seen. Rabbeinu Tam says the same. Well, Tosfos and Menachem Daf Lamed Beis and Beis quotes Rabbeinu Tam who says the same thing. So I don't know if the Tosfos and Shabbos is the same Rabbeinu Tam that we have in Menachos, but the concept of Hidr Mitzvah, the Mishnah Sabbath writes in Kol HaTorah Kula, and he has other writers, but these are the ones I brought here. The concept of Hidr Mitzvah in Kol HaTorah Kula is something that is nikar. It's something that you see. I can identify zeh, right? Zeh keili v'anveyu. Zeh is the lashon of pointing. It's something I can identify. Zeh keili v'anveyu. If I see it, if I recognize it, so then we can have an hidr mitzvah. But if it's something like sirtut on tefillin, which is covered by the or, so then there's no sirtut. There's no concept of hidr mitzvah by something which cannot be seen. So the Mishnah Sefer explains like this. The machlokas Rambam and Tosfos, when it comes to Neris Chanukah, is the machlokas of whether the hidr mitzvah of Neris Chanukah is the same halacha of Hidr Mitzvah that we have everywhere else in Torah, or is it a new halacha of Hidr Mitzvah that's special just for Hanukkah? And he says, according to Tosfos says, why is it they light only 8 candles on the 8th night, no matter how many people are in the house? It has to be nikar. You have to see it. It has to be recognizable. So on the 8th night, if there's 8 candles there, I know it's the 8th night. If there's 80 candles in the window, I don't know. It's not nikar. And the halacha of Hidr Mitzvah we find everywhere in Torah is the halacha of Heker. So says Tosfos, this is the same Hidr Mitzvah that we find everywhere else in Shas. Becomes the Rambam, and the Rambam says, no. Even though I agree with you that in Kol HaTorah Kula, Hidr Mitzvah has to be Nikar, and I agree with you that there's no Sirtut and Tefillin because you don't see it, when it comes to Neris Chanukah, there's a new getter of Hidr Mitzvah. Hidr Mitzvah is defined differently than it. It's not a din of heker that I know which night it is. What it is, I don't know for now. I'll put it on the side and we'll come back to it. But it's not. It's a new halacha of Hidr Mitzvah, special, unique to Neris Chanukah. And there are a number of nafkaminas that the Mishnah Sefer quotes to this machlokas. So I'll just list them off briefly. Number one, there's a halacha when it comes to Neris Chanukah that a person has to be willing to take tzedakah in order to finance the kiyum of the mitzvah of Neris Chanukah. So, how much tzedakah do you take? Do you take tzedakah just for the basic mitzvah, Neri Shubeso, you can take enough tzedakah to finance one candle per night? Or do we say that no? That you can actually take enough tzedakah to finance the mahajir mina mahajir, that you'll take one candle per night, or 80 candles, depending on how many people are in your house, Rambam and Tosfos. How much tzedakah are you taking? So there's an Ursa Meach in Hilchos, again, Chanukah Megillah, Perek Dalet, Lafayet Beis. The Ursa Meach learns Pshat in the Rambam that you actually can take enough money, not only for the Iker Mitzvah, but even for the Hiddur. And this is against the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is passing in Siman Tav Resh Ayin Aleph and Sifkatan Gimel. The Mishnah Berurah says you take enough tzedakah just to finance one candle per night. So says the Mishnah Sagas, what's the Machlokas over here? The Machlokas is exactly this. When it comes to Hiddur Mitzvah, is this the Hiddur Mitzvah of Kol Torah Kula? Or is this a special halach of Hiddur Mitzvah when it comes to Neiros Chanukah? And I should have mentioned this earlier, when he defines a special mitzvah of Hiddur that's unique to Neiros Chanukah, the way he formulates it is that it's part and parcel of the Kiyum. I don't want to confuse us with getting back into the Brisker Rav, although it can be related to that. He says it's part, the Hiddur Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah is part of the Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah that Chazal set up. And therefore, says the Rambam, according to the Ursa Meach, according to the Mishnah Siyagetz, that the Ani can go ahead and collect money, not only for the basic level of Kiyum Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah, but even for the Hiddur. Because the Hiddur, when it comes to Neiros Chanukah, is a fundamental part of the Mitzvah. It's a special Hiddur, it's a unique Hiddur, that's different than Kol Torah Kula. But, according to Tosfos, that this Hiddur Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah is the same Hiddur Mitzvah that we have everywhere else in Torah. So then he says, for that, we don't have the right to collect tzedakah. It's an independent kiyum. It's really what the Brisker Rav assumes. Okay, I don't want to confuse us, but if you go back, anybody's taking notes and reviewing this, you'll see there's a parallel between the Brisker Rav and the Mishnah Sagas, but it's applied in these people. Number two. Another nafkamina, perhaps, that he mentions over there, in Rabbi Kiveger in the Chuvas, in Ma'adur Tinyan and Simi Gimel, he quotes a machlokas between the Prichadash and the Elyar Rabba in regards to a person who is lighting Neiros Chanukah, and let's say he got the night wrong. He thought it was the sixth night of Chanukah, and it turns out that it's the seventh night of Chanukah. So he has to add another candle. The extra candle he's adding is obviously for the sake of Hiddur Mitzvah. And the question is, when he adds the candle, do you make a bracha on that Hiddur? So, who holds which? The Prichadash holds there's no bracha, and the Elyar Rabba holds, and this is where Rabbi Kiveger comes out himself, based on other cheshbonos, but the Elyar Rabba and Rabbi Kiveger himself both hold that there actually is a bracha on that extra candle that you're adding. So, again, says Mishnah Sabbath, this could be totally on the same machlokas, that if the concept of Hiddur Mitzvah is the regular Hiddur Mitzvah called Torah Kula, so we don't find anywhere in Torah that you make a bracha just on a Hiddur Mitzvah. But if this is a fundamental part of the Neiros Chanukah, if Mahajir Mina Mahajir Neiros Chanukah is part and parcel of the very mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah, so then, very good, just like I make a bracha on the first seven candles, the first six candles, so also when I light an extra seven candle, it's part of the very mitzvah, so I'll make another bracha as well. A third note. The Ramah says, he has an interesting language, we know there's a halacha that you don't light miner l'ner. You can't take one candle of Neiros Chanukah and use it to light a different candle. And the language in Shulchan Aruch that the Ramah uses is the following. V'nagu l'hachmir b'Neiros Chanukah shelo l'hadlik afilu miner l'ner. This is in Siman Taf Resh Ayin Daled. The minhag is that we're machmir in Neiros Chanukah not to light from one candle to another. The ikar mitzvaso eino ela ner echad. The Iker Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah is just one candle. The Shar ain't of a mitzvah kolkach. And the other candles are not so much of a mitzvah. It's a hinder. These are two separate things. And therefore one should not light from one candle to the other. So if the Ramah is correct, it sounds like one side in our Takira, that the Hinder Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah is like Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a separate idea. It's an added bonus. So I understand there's a fundamental difference between the first candle and all the rest of the candles. And I shouldn't light from one to the other. It's a little bit of a bizayim. But if you say, and this is the way he says, the Shittas HaRambam, that Hiddur Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah is part and parcel of the Kiyum. It's all part of the Iker Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah. So then there's no difference between the first candle and the eighth candle. They're all the same. And Mimela, you can light from one to the other. One last nafkamina.
Even according to the first side, it's mysterious why you can't write from the two to the third. They don't understand that, right?
Yeah, it's an Agula Hachmir. It's like an Indian that you're showing. There's a chiluk between the first candle and the other candle. The first candle is the Iker Mitzvah. The other candles are, you know, some kind of added bonus.
Right. So I'm saying beat, let's beat on like 2 to 3.
Oh, 2
three
to 3.
3 to 4.
Right.
Just not from 1 to 2.
Interesting. Yeah. There's a machlokas. Oh, sorry.
I'm saying that prior chakir where it was the seventh night and the sixth candle and you're lighting now for the seventh is necessarily a hechmach. You're lighting it now else the hit, or it's because it's you're going to be mistaken. You can make people make a mistake on one night.
Oh, so that's no good for the last night. Oh. Okay. Very good.
Which is right.
Yeah.
You mentioned, according to you, is the steering wheel in the Mishnah Brura.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned the Mishnah Brura said that you can only bottle for one night, and yet the Mishnah Brura postulates that you make a bracha if you were lighting candles and you forgot to make a bracha, even though you were yotzei the ikum mitzvah. And could continue to make a bracha even on the last candle on the eighth night.
Right, so that wasn't Mishra. That was the El Yerava and Rabbi Kiva Eber. Against the Pichadash.
The Mishra quotes it, though.
Oh, the Mishra quotes it, okay. So it's along this. Yeah, that's not that. They don't always work out the way. That's right. And Afghanali, you could say the Mishra is not working with this lumbus of the Mishra Jagdus. Yeah, it's a good aura, very good aura. So that's what I would tell you. Mishra Brewer is not working with this lumbus. One last nafkamina. This one I came across is actually not in Mishnah Yagvitz. So certainly if you want to argue with this one, you're only arguing with me, which is not so difficult. There's a machlokas between the Beis HaLevi and the Avi Ezri, or Shach. The Beis HaLevi is in the Hilchos Chanukah, I think in the Beis HaLevi Al HaTorah. Rav Shach though quotes from the Avi Ezri in Hilchos Chanukah, Perek Daled Halacha Aleph. Let's say it's the seventh night of Chanukah, and a person only has, you know, six candles worth of oil that he's able to light. So what's the best thing to do? Should he light all six? Because, you know, he should light as many as he can, even though he can't reach the seventh. Or should he, he should light one candle, and that way we avoid any type of confusion. So the Chorus is also telling me, if you hold like Tosfos, that the whole concept of Hidr Mitzvah over here is Hidr Mitzvah Kol HaTorah Kula. And I need to have a heker, and it's Binikar, that I'm telling everybody which night of Hanukkah this is. So then, of course, you know, to light six candles in the seventh night is just going to be confusing. You're not, obviously, it's not only not a heker, it's the opposite of a heker. And of course, you should not light that amount of candles. And this is what the Beis HaLevi says. The Beis HaLevi says that you should light just one candle in that type of situation. And Avi Ezri comes along and says, no. He says, Tmehani Bazeh HaMashakasa Sefer Beis HaLevi. He doesn't understand it. Of course, you should light as many candles as is possible. And Lichora, it's very, you know, makes a lot of sense in the Shita Sarambam that the Rambam holds that we're not concerned with the heck over here. Even if a person walks by your window on the eighth night, sees 80 candles, and he's not going to be able to tell what night of Hanukkah it is. There's no heker whatsoever. So the Rambam says, I don't care. Light as many candles as you can. Because our Magdir, how to determine how many candles to light, you know, people and nights. But the Korah, the more the merrier, even though there's going to be no heker in terms of what night it is. So also over here, according to the Rambam, you should light all six candles, even though, you know, nobody's going to tell. But the Rambam is not concerned necessarily with people knowing what night it is. It is a Kiddush. You can see this right there in the answer.
Because even like the Rambam, you have to light, that's like multiples of eight on
the right, so the way I've seen the Achronim,
so what does that mean?
The way the Achronim explained, Rav Asher Weiss, he came out with the Sefer recently on Hilchos Chanukah, and maybe some other things in there. So he says that the Rambam, essentially, the way the Rambam is magdir here, the Hidr, is Tosefes Or, Tosefes Neiros. So how did Chazal tell you how much? Should I make like a million candles every night? I spend all my money buying candles? So the Chazal told us exactly how to do it, nights and people. But that's just kind of like a way to, you know, give a framework to putting in a lot of, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but we see, maybe the Rambam agrees, though, that I don't need to have a hacker. I have to have a hacker. The whole reason I don't have a hacker because there's more candles.
Yeah.
But if there's less than eight, and I see there's a mistake, who says they want you to figure there's a mistake?
Yeah, I hear it. It's a fair argument. This is the, you can look there, you can look in the Rav Shach, this is what he says. This is what he says. He feels very strongly about it. He says the Pella on the Beis HaLevi, it doesn't say like it. Oh. Okay, let's end up with a little bit of Divrei Machshava in terms of Hidr Mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah. To reorient myself now. We know that there are two mitzvahs in Chanukah. one mitzvah of the Nes Pach HaShemen, which is basically, you know, our Iker commemoration of the Nes of Chanukah, as we light the menorah every night. That's one. And then there's another Nes of Chanukah, which is the Nes of the Milchama, which we mentioned in Alan Nisim. And if I were to ask which of the two miracles was more important, so I think the obvious answer would be that the Nes of the Milchama was more important. With no Milchama, so we wouldn't be here anymore. There is no opportunity for the Nes of the Pach HaShemen without the Nes of the Milchama. So the first question I want to ask is, why is it that so much emphasis? Why is it that Chazal or Koveya, in terms of commemorating the mitzvahs of the Nisim of Chanukah, that the mitzvah that we do is the mitzvah that commemorates the less important miracle? That's the first question. The second question is, you know, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, famous kasha, that if the whole tzibur is tameh, so then you can go ahead and do avodin Beis Hamikdash, even b'tumah. And if that's the case, the whole nes that we're commemorating of the Pach HaShemen, the whole thing is a superfluous miracle. It's an unnecessary miracle. They could have brought a b'tumah. They could have lit the menorah, even though they were tameh, because everybody was tameh. That's the second question. Third question. In Kol HaTorah Kula, the only place that we find the concept of hider, mahadrin, mina mahadrin, is on Chanukah. And on Hashkachas in Eretz Yisrael. But Chanukah is the only place that we find mahadrin, mina mahadrin. So why is that? Why is it that dafka here, of all places, it's so important to emphasize hider mitzvah? So, the Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichos Musar, in last week's parasha, points to the story of Yosef, which is also maybe if there's time, we'll just mention something about this. Also we always on Chanukah we read the parashas of Yosef. We learn also halachas of Chanukah from Yosef. So there's some type of fundamental connection between Chanukah and Yosef. If we have time, we'll come back to that. But in this parasha of Yosef, in last week's parasha, we see that Yosef was sold down to Mitzrayim by his brothers, and he's taken by the Ishmaelim and the Midyanim down to Beis Potiphar. And when the Ishmaelim take him, the pasuk says they were carrying with them no v'tzri v'lo. The Chok Vitzri Valur. And the Chazal tell us that this was a little bit of a nes, that ordinarily Arabs carry bad smelling products. And here Hashem brought to Yosef, Mazmin to Yosef, a group of Arabs who were carrying good smelling spices in order that Yosef should go down to Mitzrayim with a good smell. And lichora, it's very difficult because, you know, if I'm Yosef at that moment, and my father, my beloved father, sent me off to check on my brothers, and they attack me and rip off my clothing and throw me into a pit and then sell me off to Mitzrayim for some shoes so they can use money to buy shoes. And Mitzrayim is a place where people go and they never come back from Mitzrayim. It's the low point of his life. You know, imagine the depression, the humiliation that he's experiencing and to Hashem. But don't worry, because Hashem did for him an ace. Now he'll go down with a nice smell. I mean, the chor is difficult. What's the chat over here? What is so important about this nes? So Chaim explains that dafka then, when a person is at the lowest point, so Hashem was reminding you, this is a very inordinary thing, an extraordinary thing, that Arabs would be carrying slices. It's Hashem's way of, so to speak, peeking out from behind the curtains and waving and said, telling to Yosef, don't worry, even here in the lowest point, even right now, I'm still here with you and I'm taking you down to Mitzrayim. This is all me. Don't think it's your brothers and the code and the jealousy and the I'm the one who's taking you down to Mitzrayim. And this small miracle is just a reminder for Yosef that Hashem is with him. And Reb Chaim explains that if you look through Tanakh, there's a number of different occasions where we can find these type of small miracles that seem to be totally unnecessary, but are coming to drive home a point. For example, he points out that when David fights Goliath, so we know he took a stone, he threw it at him in between the eyes in the front, and Goliath dies. And David goes and he cuts off his head. So the pasuk says, how did Goliath die? He got hit by the stone, and then he fell forward on his face. And Chazal say that this is an ace. Why? Because if somebody throws a stone at you and hits you in the head, since the stone is coming from in front of you, you're going to fall backwards. But here, Goliath fell forwards. Ah, an ace. And what was the point of the nace? For what? Well, Goliath, we know, is a very large man. And if he fell backwards, so David would have to walk the whole length of his body to arrive at his head to cut it off. But now that he fell forward, so his head basically landed at David's feet, and he was able just to bend down and cut off his head. You know? What's the point of that? So again, says Reb Chaim, that sometimes Hashem does a little extra, something that doesn't even seem necessary. It's almost like, and I love you. The less necessary the nes is, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the more of an I love you it is. The more of Hashem peeking out at me it is. If it's something I need, if it's a milchama, and it's a do or die situation, then Hashem's not going to let us die. Of course, Hashem's going to keep us around. But a nes pach Hashem, a nes of Goliath that he should fall on my feet, that's unnecessary. And that's Hashem just showing the chiva that he has towards Chal Yisrael. Another example that he brings over there is that when Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael, so he looks around, he sees all of Eretz Yisrael, the Arachayim, I don't remember the pasuk or where it is exactly. You can look in the Sifas Musar last week's parasha. So the Arachayim says that when Avraham Avinu looks around and he sees all of Eretz Yisrael, he actually doesn't turn his head. He gets like this like super panoramic view just by staying still, and he sees like all the directions. And the Chorah, it's not so difficult to turn your head and like just see, you know, all around you. But again, Hashem was doing this type of miracle where it's showing the chiba that he has. It's unnecessary. But because it's unnecessary, it's a greater expression of that close relationship that we have. And he gives a muscle. If a person, a family, has a family heirloom that was passed down from generation to generation, a kiddush cup from a great-great-grandfather, and the kiddush cup gets lost, and the whole family's going crazy, and, you know, turning the house upside down, under the couch, under the bed, and finally a little boy, the youngest child in the family, finds the cup, and he comes to his father, says, "Ah, I found it," and the father's so happy, the whole family's so happy, everybody's celebrating, and the father picks up his son and gives him a kiss. So that's extra. Now the son is happy about two things. He's happy like everybody else because he found the cup, but he's doubly happy because his father gave him a kiss. And Reb Chaim explains, that's what Neris Chanukah is. Neris Chanukah is a kiss. It wasn't necessary. Tumahutru B'tzibur, and the Neis L'Mechamah's greater. But this is Hashem telling you that there's a chiba. There's an added relationship here that's underlying everything. And that's really what we're celebrating on Chanukah. And then it's very mistaber why it is that dafka on Chanukah we do the mitzvahs mehadrin mina mehadrin, more so than any other time of year. Because dafka now, when Hashem gave us that kiss, so to speak, when Hashem is expressing His chiba towards us, so we want to do it back. We want to do the mitzvah also, mahadrin mina mahadrin, in the best possible way, because that's the only way that we have to express our chibah yisirah back to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it was really a privilege for me to come in and share some Divrei Torah with you. And I appreciate it. Thank Rabbi Koningsberg, and Rosh Hashiva, and all of you for listening. Have a great time.